With Radio on the Go News, I'm Mitch Williams. United States Postal Service postmistress Heather Taylor addressed the Hampton City Council Thursday about the unannounced mail route delivery change in the southwest part of Hampton, which has generated numerous citizen complaints. Stephanie Brandt and Don Cook with the USPS were also present. The United States Postal Service made the decision to discontinue door delivery to 22 properties in a two-block radius in the southwest part of the city due to a recent dog incident at 203 6th Street Southwest without providing a written notice to the properties. Affected residents are now required to pick up their mail at the post office until a curbside mailbox is installed at these properties at the residents' own expense. Many neighboring property owners voiced their opposition, as it is an inconvenience and potential expense for 22 properties in the city due to the actions of one dog owner. The USPS representatives explained their number one priority is postal carrier safety, and in order to ensure carrier safety, they feel this change is necessary. Taylor admitted during the meeting on Thursday she did fail to provide a written notification to the affected residents prior to discontinuing door delivery. This week, the Belmont City Council received an update on the 3rd Street Northeast Phase 2 reconstruction project. The council learned that the project consists of removing existing street pavement, installing a new water main, new sanitary sewer main, new stormwater main, and construction of a new pavement surface. The council then approved an application for partial payment of $153,210.96 to Bob McKinnis Excavating and Grading, Incorporated of Mason City, for the project. In other business, the Belmont City Council reviewed a proposed lease for radiology equipment for Iowa Specialty Hospital in Belmont. The council then approved the lease agreement for the equipment in the amount of $242,658. Monday, the Clarksville City Council accepted the resignation of City Attorney Heather Prendergast, with Roberts, Stevens, and Prendergast PLLC of Waterloo, effective May 26th. In other business, the Clarksville City Council approved several building permits applied for by residents. Thursday night, the Dumont City Council approved several items related to this year's Sandbagging Day events, including approval of a liquor license to lift the noise ordinance for all events and approval to temporarily close some streets. In other business, the Dumont City Council approved the salaries for appointed officers and city employees for the next fiscal year, with most of those to receive a 3% pay raise. About 20 people are taking part in this week's RAGBRAI inspection ride, as they are following this year's route that will pass through parts of the Radio on the Go broadcast area next month. While in Applington, one of the riders, Dixon Novi, told Radio on the Go News what they are doing through Saturday.
We're looking for the road for any cracks and crevices, any dangerous spots on the road where a lot of the RAGBRAI riders are inexperienced riders and they don't know how to navigate around the potholes and the cracks and the center expansion joints. So what we do is we're logging. We have a computer system that logs the hazards of the road, and we report them to the city, the county, or the state, whoever's jurisdiction it is, so they can repair that.
So what does Novi think of this year's route?
I think it's great. A couple long days, a couple short days, but nice to visit the overnight towns. It's nice to dump some money, some funds into these towns, you know, that suffered last year. But the route this year, I love it.
On July 27th, riders will begin the day in Fort Dodge and will pass through Alden and will stay overnight in Iowa Falls. On the 28th, riders will pass through Ackley, Austinville, Applington, Parkersburg, and New Hartford in the broadcast area before the next overnight stop in Waterloo. Wednesday at 10:17 p.m., the Mason City Fire Department was called out on the report of a house fire at 920 South Tennessee Place on the southeast side of town. No injuries were reported. When crews arrived, fire was showing from the roof where the electrical service entered the building. Firefighters quickly put the fire out from the exterior of the building. The cause of the fire is listed as accidental, as a tree limb had broken off and fallen on the electrical service line to the building. Fire damage was contained to the attic area of the home. Thursday morning, the Hardin County Sheriff's Department arrested 32-year-old Ricky Burnett of Lawrence on a Webster County warrant for a probation violation from the original charge of driving while barred. Burnett is being held at the Hardin County Jail. From midday Thursday through midday today, the number of positive tests for COVID-19 in the Radio on the Go broadcast area increased by 3. Today, the Iowa Department of Public Health's website reported 11 additional COVID-19 deaths in the state since midday Thursday, including 2 additional deaths in Cerro Gordo County. Over 363,400 recoveries from COVID-19 have been reported in the state to date, including an additional 20 recoveries in the broadcast area since midday Thursday. A complete county-by-county breakdown can be found at radioonthego.com. As of today, at least 1.41 million people in the state have completed receiving their COVID-19 vaccine series. One of the highest temperatures reported in Iowa on Thursday was 98 degrees at several locations, including Spencer and Algona. 97 was the high in Mason City and Waterloo, while it was 96 in Hampton and Iowa Falls. The high temperature in Clarion on Thursday was 95 degrees. Clarion's Festival in the Park tomorrow will feature the Fireman's Pancake Breakfast from 6 to 10 a.m. at the fire station. The parade is scheduled to begin at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. There will be several food and craft vendors at Gazebo Park in Clarion during the day tomorrow. Last night, Jenna Myers, the daughter of John and Bethany Myers, was crowned as Miss Clarksville 2021 during Clarksville Pioneer Days. The first runner-up was Hope Mega Dance, the daughter of Erica Wedeking. The second runner-up was Tabitha Anderson, the daughter of John and Sarah Anderson, while Miss Congeniality was Carly Doty, the daughter of Roger and April Doty. The Country Thunder Iowa event runs through Sunday at Heritage Park in Forest City. Musical acts are scheduled to perform all 3 days. The headliners are Old Dominion on Friday, Kane Brown on Saturday, and Leonard Skinner on Sunday. Other acts include Big and Rich, Clay Walker, and Lone Star. For more information, you can go to countrythunder.com. That's countrythunder.com. And in state news this evening, the top administrator in the Republican-controlled Iowa Senate threatened retribution against a GOP appointee who oversees workplace safety after inspectors said they would make public their concerns about COVID-19 hazards at the Capitol, as records show. Charlie Smithson, the Secretary of the Senate, criticized Iowa Labor Commissioner Rod Roberts for not knowing better and told inspectors at an April 2nd meeting that senators would not forget, according to an inspector's notes of the meeting. Roberts is a former member of the Iowa House and 2010 GOP candidate for governor who was appointed by Governor Kim Reynolds as labor commissioner. The Senate voted to confirm him 48-0 in 2019. If reappointed when his term expires in 2023, he would need support from 34 of 50 senators to serve another 6-year term. Smithson told AP on Friday that he was upset the inspector's findings would lump the Iowa Senate and House together, and that he thought Roberts, a former lawmaker, would know they should be treated as separate constitutional bodies. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds said in a letter that the federal government did not notify her before flying migrant children into the Des Moines airport back in April, then shuttling them to other cities as part of an effort to join them with relatives. In a letter sent Thursday to Iowa U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley, Reynolds called for a Senate Judiciary Committee oversight hearing on immigration that should address the Biden administration's lack of notice when it moves children through the states. Although similar transportation and placement of migrant children has occurred during the Trump and Obama administrations. Reynolds spokesman Pat Garrett says the recent flight was different because it occurred late at night and a federal agency initially denied it had organized the flight. For Radio on the Go News, I'm Mitch Williams.